next piece over here in the Ner Mitzvah is Bemesh Shayach to something. He's going back to what he said before. Basically, the construction of Ner Mitzvah is that he's first he made his main point about Yavon. Then he went off into these two or three medrashim, and now he's coming back around again, and then he'll start the next part with it. So he's basically recapping what he said before. V'hizboya, ki malchus yovan hu muchan lisnagad Yisrael, b'mash esh lem teira mitzvahs aloikis. Chlal Yisrael is the one, Yovan is the one that is most given to opposing Chlal Yisrael, because Chlal Yisrael has teira and mitzvahs aloikis. Because Yovan has Chochma, which is only Seichel Adam. Loya Seichel Loika Nivdal has no Shaykh as the Seichel Loiki Nivdal. Ashia Teira Loikis, Shia Seichel Nivdal Loiki Legami. So one thing that they're opposed to is Seichel and what he calls Seichel Nivdal. Now, is their Shaykh the Seichel Adam, not Seichel Nivdal? That's one. Vichain, the second thing, Al Beis HaMikdosh, they're opposed to Beis HaMikdosh. Sheyesh LaMaila Loikis Kdosha. They're very misnagged to the Beis HaMikdash. Ki HaTorah Beis HaMikdash Hem Shtei Madregas Zu Al Zu. Torah and Beis HaMikdash are two Madregas, one on top of the other. K'moy She'omer B'chol Mokrem Shtei Me'elu Yachad, like it says, Yirotzim Fanech Hashem HaKeinu Shebonu Beis HaMikdash Me'er V'Yameinu V'Sein HaKeinu Sayo Secha, which doesn't seem to have anything together. I mean, what does Beis HaMikdash have to do with Torah? But currently these are two inyanim that come together. So the Neiris has both in Yanim. It has an Inyan of Torah and Inyan Beis HaMikdash. I'd like to be marchiv a little bit on this because this is a very keen akuda. If we're talking about Yovan, we're talking about Klai Yisrael, talking about Seichel and Beis HaMikdash. Let's talk a little bit about this Inyan. It says in Lashon Kodesh, the Lashon for something for bad is tzaris. The Lashon for good is rachvis. Ki hirchav Hashem lanu. By Yitzchak it says that HaKadosh Baruch was marchiv. So naturally, yes, when it's tight, it's uncomfortable. When it's broader a little bit, it's more comfortable. But it's interesting, Inyan, and about Torah it says, Arucha mi eretz mida, it's longer than the earth, urechava min ayam, and it's broader than the yam. The Torah, Tanakh, is not rife with empty melitzes. You want to describe Torah, so you say that it's longer than the earth, it's broader than the ocean, it's deeper than the abyss, it's greener than the trees, it's brighter than the sun. I mean, is the Tanakh just listing it on and on? When you talk about Torah, it's longer and it's broader. What is exactly the breadth of Torah as opposed to the length of Torah? Which is the... There's one other Inyan that's described in Chazal, that's described in the same terminology as Rachvas. And that is, it says about Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Chemda, Toiva, or Chava. So Mela, the Chemda part of it, it's desirable. Fine, that's a description that makes sense. Toiva, it's good. What do you mean, Rechava? Gedoyla. You could say Yisrael is a big country. It's not exactly, but okay, it's a big country. But what's Rechava? It's broad. What exactly, and if it'd be longer, it actually has to be quite long and quite thin. Even the big size, it's longer usually than the breadth. Well, what exactly are you describing when you speak about Yisrael as being Eretz Chemda, Toiva, or Rechava? So like this. The Maral says that Eretz Chemda means like this. It's going from outside to inside. Chemda means it's something which is attractive, meaning that looking at it from the outside in, it's desirable. That's the meaning of Chemda. That's one. Tova means that it is be'etzem good. So chemda is the outer layer, it's the wrapping is nice, the packaging is good. Tova, it's good, essentially. So what's rechava? So the Maral says that that's an inyan ruchni, and that's why Eretz Yisrael is like a tzvi, that it broadens to accommodate the people there. What exactly is that mila of broadening to accommodate the people there? What exactly is that inyan? What does it mean? So the pshat is like this. Let's go to a Rashi. The famous Rashi describes the vikuach between Bezalel and Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said, first you should make the kelim, and then the urios. The Bezalel said, no. Darkar Shalolam is a person builds a house first, and then he puts the kelim in. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, yes, you're right, Bezalel kela Yisa. So it's understood that it's not an argument in the sense that Moshe Rabbeinu is wrong. It's an argument of two sides of an issue, and Bezalel's issue was the one how to actually build it. But there's a side of Moshe Rabbeinu which in a certain sense is more right than Bezalel. Anything in this world starts with the framework you constructed for it. For instance, how much water can you draw from a well? It depends on how big of a pitcher you have. The boundary, the limit is the pitcher that you have. So you might have a lot of water in the well, but you can only take out as much big as the pitcher is. By the Shunam is when she, by the Isha, by Elisha, she could take only as much oil as there were pitchers there. This world starts with limitations, and you can fit in content as much as limitations. A person goes shopping, so the maximum he can buy is as much as fits into the car, as much as he can take in his bags, whatever. That is the limitation. That is a very physical. It's a very olam hazadik approach, where the kli defines the content. I remember in the Mir, there was an old bacher who used to sell sfarim. He was a bacher probably in the 40s, a very eccentric, interesting person. Not here anymore, that bacher, many years. He got married and had a family, but it was very eccentric, very pleasantly eccentric, but eccentric. And he used to sell sfarim, and when I came to Eretz Yisrael, people in Eretz Yisrael were very poor, and until you bought a sefer, it was Kriyas Yam, so somebody would go to buy a Shas or Chuzi Kivega or a Chidushi Kivega, it was like a major purchase, and you bought, the Americans came and just pulled out wads of bills, and they would buy up, like, you know, this, it was interesting. And he would sometimes be very amused that people didn't know what's sfarim, and he would tell them, you know, he said, you tell me how many meters and what color you need, and I'll supply it to you. You know, basically, he said, you know, tell me you need 6 meters of blue sfarim. He says, I'll, you know, we'll do that. That's like, you don't know what you're buying. Just you're accommodating a shelf, obviously, someplace. You've got a living room that's what could use it. In this world, the kli kibul limits the tochen. Reality is, the tochen should limit the kli kibul. The person's kalim should fit the content. So if this sugya needs 8 hours, that's how many hours I should provide for it. It's not that I have 2 hours, what can I learn in 2 hours? I'm learning this sugya. The sugya needs 8 hours, so I have to free up 8 hours for it. That's the way it should be. So in the world of this world, Bezalel was right. That the kalim come first, the kalim, the structure's there, and the kalim fit the structure. In a real ruchnistic world, in a world of content, you start with the content and you fit the kalim to it. So, lamashal, a stomach, let's take something like a stomach that's a little more flexible. As you eat, it expands to take in what you're eating because it's built to expand a little bit to be flexible to take in what's coming in. So the midah of rachva is the ability to encompass what's in it. The yam is not limited. It says yam is called a yam gadol rechav yadayim. The yam is broad. Water goes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to keep it in check. It says gvul samta bal yavirim. You put a boundary around the ocean to force it in. But the ocean mitzad atzmo doesn't have any limits. So the midah of Aruka is connectivity, length. We won't talk about it. That's not the point I'm talking about. That you go from where you are to where you want to get to. That's so Torah goes in length. It's orech yomim. It's arichus yom. It connects out. Rachvas of Torah is there is nothing that stands outside of Torah. There is nothing that doesn't have a makom within Torah. Kedushin and Gerushin, Achila and Shtia, Shabbos and Yontif, Choil, and so on. Everything has a makom within Torah. There's an extraordinary, beautiful mitzvah about Reb Chaim Briska, that Reb Chaim Briska used to get very depressed when he used to think about death. And when he learned the Hollis, he would perk up. Most of us get pretty depressed when we learn the Hollis. The pshat in that is, if a mace is a chafshi from mitzvahs, then you really don't exist. A mace doesn't exist because a mace is a chafshi. So there's no makom. A holos says a mace also has a mitzias, a teretic mitzias, and as b'teres mace, and b'meila, that's where your mitzias is, so you still exist. That's what I think the teichman of the story is. So upon the meat of Torah v'chava is its ability to encompass. The flip side is, when a person has rachvas, it means that he has a midah, he shtels himself to what comes in. Let's go slow. That's what the morale means. Eretz Yisrael is rechava. It's not the pshat. Eretz Yisrael is X amount of square kilometers, and you can fit X amount of people into X amount of square kilometers. Eretz Yisrael accommodates the amount of people that come into it. If 100,000 people live there, it supports 100,000. If 10 million people live there, it supports 10 million people. Eretz Yisrael's midah of rechav is a ruchnistic midah. Eretz Yisrael stells itself to the people and not the other way around. A person's chunas ha-nefesh is, when we speak sometimes, when we use the term balabatish in the pejorative, you say it's teaching balbatim is difficult. It's a balbasha svara. What are we exactly are trying to put a finger on? They're not stupid people. The fact that they're not learned, so they'll learn. What exactly is that quality when a person is in a yeshiva? He wants to stop being balbatish and learning. What exactly is balbatish? Balbatish means the person has certain fixed ideas, and everything is going to have to snap into that. So, you know, every halacha he learns, every din he learns, every idea he learns is cut and shaped into the preconceived ideas he has as a physical, down-to-earth person. I think I was told over there, Rav Gavelik Svein Bracha, was one of the yeshivas in Yeshiva University, and he was a tremendous, he was a big, very big Amchachem, very big Kanoi actually, but he was also a very big Balmanag, and he had a deep feeling for the Gina. And I once spent a summer with him, and we shmoozed a lot. And we were arguing about Regesh and Litvish and so on. So he told me a story about a friend of his who was a Litvish. He himself was also a Litvak, but he happened to have Rav Gavelik had a tremendous sense of beauty and a tremendous sense of Regesh. He said he was once sitting with his son, Shal Shudas, and singing Negunim. And his friend was there also, and he was politely listening. And when they would finish a nigging, he would say, "Ah, that's the Shal Shudas nigging of the Klois and Brisk." And then another nigging, "Ah, that's the nigging that was in here." This, that. Finally, they sang a nigging, and the man looked very puzzled, and he said, "No, there is no such nigging." The pshat is he had boxes, and he had pigeonholed. The idea that each nigging you learn opens another box, creates the box. That was obviously not there by the person. And in learning and in Torah and in behavior, in that whole sweep of ruchnias, a person is born physical. So you can start with Torah. So everybody's born with physical sensations. He's hungry, he's full, he's excited, he's bored. V'chulu, v'chulu, v'chulu. You can teach Torah to a person in a way that takes care of that. If you keep Hilchos Nida, the marriage is exciting. Good. If you eat kosher, it keeps the family together. Good. Everything pigeons back. So the problem is that he's never, ever growing because there's no rachvas. He doesn't change with the content. It's the other way around. In the Malchus Yavan was the ultimate in seichel of a people. And that's one of the problems of science. And people don't recognize it. Sometimes there is such a sweeping hakdama that it's unnecessary, but you don't realize that hakdama is there. When a person opens up a science book, a person understands that this is pure emes. But that's not true. When a person opens up a science book, there's a big first page, which is left out in most science books. But the first page says, assuming that our senses and our logical constructs are the only givens, what can you tell about the world around you? That is the first page of every one. Just like a lot of times you have geometries or math problems, what makes sometimes a lot of math problems is they'll limit it. They'll say using only X, Y, or Z as tools in geometry, or using only this type of equation, solve this for this. And that makes it very challenging, because a lot of times you can do a problem with calculus very easily, and if you try to do it without calculus, you have to be an extraordinary genius to do it. There's a limit. Science starts with a big page, assuming that all that we have is human perception and seichel, what can we say about the world around us? And the rest of the book is absolutely true. So, but if you skip that first page, it's not true. Yavon was a metzias of imposing that shilton as everything. Nothing outside of that box is valid. Instead of a person looking around and saying there is more to the world than seichel, in a sense of something logical or the palpable, is the person stops and says, no. It's the other way around. It's interestingly enough that the letters of Yavon are three letters that only have Orech and no Rochav. Yud and Vav and Nun are letters of Orech without any Rochav to it. Dalet and He and Mem are letters that have Rochav to it. Yud, Vav, Nun have the only Orech. In other words, Yavon was out to Mimafkia anything but the Kalim of the person. The Beis HaMikdash was the one place, in every place in the world, place is the most ironclad given. You cannot fit more than X onto X amount of space. That's the most given, the most basic tenet of a most most tenet, the most basic axiom of thought. And yet, in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kodesh HaKodashim always accommodated the Aron. The point of it was, and it wasn't bigger. Why did Kodesh Baruch Hu make a permanent nes of such extraordinary oifen in the Beis HaMikdash? Why? What was the point of it? Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't just throw out nesim for show. The Torah says it's not a nes for show. It's the pshat, the metzias of Kodesh HaKodashim belongs to the world of Rochav, of broadness. And b'meila, the sense of it wasn't bigger than 10. Why would it cheap on space? Make the Kodesh Kodashim a half inch bigger. The Torah says the Kodesh Kodashim fit the Aron. Period. It wasn't bigger, because just like when you have something that stretches, it stretches to fit the thing that's inside it. The Kodesh HaKadoshim was a container for the Aron, so it fit the Aron. That was the Metzius of Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Metzius of Beis HaMikdash in the world was a Metzius of Makom of Rochav, of Rachvus. It was the place where the Shultan of Rachvus existed. And Bemela accommodated all. The Torah is also the same. Torah, more than anything else, gives a person a sense of... it's not the pshat, it fills your existing logical circuits with knowledge and understanding. The knowledge and understanding is supposed to broaden your existing logical tfisa. A person is supposed to understand things. When we understand things in a gemaritic oifin, in a seichelic oifin, we're using seichel, but it's based on things that are not sichli. It's like we begin to understand things that are not 100% axiomatic to human seichel, but they become a metzias and we understand with them. So in the world of Torah, we go beyond seichel adam because we adopt a seichel aloiki. And in the world of Beis HaMikdash, we adapt a hargosha. It says the Maral says someplace else that the Beis HaMikdash is keneged leiv and Torah is keneged seichel, and that's what he means. One is on top of the other. This is, I think, what Miramez he says. Those are two areas where it's shaykh to go beyond yourself. The hands and the feet and the stomach are limited to hands and feet and stomach. It doesn't go anyplace else. The lev has hargoshes that go beyond the guf. A person's guf doesn't feel anything, but his lev feels something. That is one world that goes beyond his limits of sense. And the das and seichel vadim has a capability of becoming das and seichel teira. Yavan was misnaget to it, and they tried to make tsarus. They tried to make to hem it in, because that was their metzias. They start with the givens, and everything is going to have to be between the two walls of the given, and it can't go out from it. Kalalia, so that was the goalus of it, and that's why it's called Mitzrayim, is the opposite of the Eretz Chemda Tevur Chava, because of its tsarus. Things that are, that place a certain givens and try to fit the content into the given imposes tsarus, and that's the marker of this goals. A person, and it's an important in a broad sense, this is what Olam HaYeshivas was all about. Olam HaYeshivas was about not filling a person's kalim, not only filling a person's kalim with Torah and so on and so forth. It's that the Torah inside it create the kli. It changed a person's basic perceptions. That a person understand with a das and a seichel that broadened because of it. A person, when we speak of a person who's small-minded, what do we mean to say? What we mean to say is he has a limited set of experiences, and even if he has a lot of experiences, but if he's a small-minded person, everything has to fit into that experience. If it doesn't fit in that experience, it doesn't exist. The nigun doesn't exist unless it was labeled and identified in his early youth. That's a small-minded person. A broad-minded person is someone that entertains the possibilities, and it has a capability relating to possibilities that are bigger than the worlds he's seen. It's not the pshat, if it doesn't fit into what's there, it doesn't exist, but I've added a new havanah utfisa. The world of ruchnis is like that. It's a world that's meant to give a person new hargoshes, new tfisas, new understandings, and to broaden a person. The Malchus Yovan tried to clamp down on it, on both levels of seich and hargosha. And Neris Chanuk is the pshat, the ha'ara, the chelik of the Beis HaMikdash that's very closely aligned to the Arav Torah, is the chelik that we replicate as a zikaron for that nes. Okay.